The offering is done, or the children. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about the day that we live in, because we're close to Jesus. The Lord is going to come, and His reward is with Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Bless you, God. Father, we just look to You. Lord, Your word is true. And Lord, it's to be cherished, God, and to held on to, and to be obeyed and to be loved. And Lord, we just pray that Your word would come, and God, it would speak to our hearts. God, it would help wash us, God, with the water. And Lord, that we could just begin to get stronger and cleaner and more aware of, God, what You've called us to do and to be. Father, help us now by the presence of Your Holy Spirit. We pray that, God, it would be You that would speak at this time to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there's a name that's above every name. What is that name? No other name in heaven and earth in which a man can be saved by. There's a name that no matter what is going on anywhere, there's a name that's above every name. And you think about this. God wants us to begin to understand His plan. You know, as we begin to pray and do some things and seek the Lord, I begin to just see some things about that name and how God wants us to be able to use that name and how He's done things in His name. And then what He says is He gives us His name. He gives us that authority of His name that we become the children of God. And so as we begin to look into this, His name is so great that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And that's not just, I don't believe it's just at a time when Jesus comes. I believe that no matter what, the enemy knows, the world knows, and you know, the world has an enemy, and that enemy is Jesus. And yet Jesus came to save us out of, you understand? He came to, you know, He comes to these lost ones and lost sheep. I don't know about you, I was lost totally, and Christ came. And then, you know, as we begin to read the scriptures, we begin to look into some of these things, He's always telling us, He wants us to remember something. You know what I mean? He talks about in communion and all this thing, but He says, remember, I'm not going to leave you alone. You know, sometimes we feel so alone. We feel like we're trying to do all these battles in life all by ourselves, you know? You know, we're always just kind of looking. But Jesus promised that He would never leave us alone. He said, I go to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And we got to remember these things. We got to, you know, when we're in the midst of what's going on in the world, we got to remember that Jesus is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. And it's more powerful than this world. It's greater than this world. We're talking about eternity. And He says these blessings, these things, they start now. That authority and that name, it's here now. It's not just in heaven when we go to heaven or when we die. And so he promises, you know, and so Jesus promises, he says, to those who believe, I don't know about you, that is not beyond anyone to be able to believe. He's given everyone the ability. He said He's given to each a measure of faith unto salvation. So none of us are without an excuse that we can believe in Jesus Christ as we begin to look towards Him and towards His life and towards His word. Now, I want to start out in the book of John chapter 17. And I want to go to verse 11. And Jesus is telling some things to His disciples, but in verse 11 it says, I'm no longer in the world. And yet they themselves are in the world. And I have come to You, Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. You know, we see some things there, and there's another translation, but, you know, it says that in that verse 17 and verse 11, it talks about how he's no longer in the world, but they are still in the world. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Jesus went and he began to do these things, and he's going to the Father. And then in this other translation, it talks about protect them by the power of your name. That's what it really says. Protect them by the power of your name. That's, you know, Jesus and the Father are one, and they're communicating with one another as they are. And he's talking about this name. Protect them in thy name. Now, there's something to this, you understand? It's not just something that's thrown out, just, you know, nothing to be considered. There's something that God wants us to consider. And as he goes to the Father, and he goes, that they may be one. Now, I don't know about you, but the name of Jesus, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way that God wants us to do something. That's the way that he ordained. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. And as we begin to understand that, we begin to come close and we get connected to Jesus. And through the Spirit, we get connected one with another. And that's how, you know, Jesus begins to do these things. And in Mark 16, verse 17, it says this. These signs will accompany those who believe. Now, how many know that believing isn't supposed to be some kind of thing that's just held in custody in your mind? Well, I believe in Jesus, or, you know, I'm a Christian, or I go to church. There's something that's supposed to happen in Christians' lives. It's not supposed to be a dead faith or dead belief, but God is saying that he has done something. There's something that keeps us. There's something that he wants us to understand. There's a way to make these things work. And so he said, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Now remember this, not in the name of Redemption Ministry or Harley or Rocky or anybody else. You know, Butch, he just had a testimony. But what God is saying as he is saying these things, that when God is for you, who can be against you? And when God is saying that he will not give to one what he'll not give to another, he doesn't just give to one. You understand? You go, oh, I like that guy. I remember when I first got saved, and this guy, he had a gifting. I go, man, he's really got a gift, you know, and like, you know, I wanted what he had, but what he had is what Jesus gave him. And that's something I can have. That's something that God freely gives. And I gotta understand, it's not just some person, but it's God, it's his name, it's his life, it's what he does. And so it says that in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I don't know about you, but right now the world is crazy, and you got to understand the power of hell. Who's in control of this world? Satan got cast out of the world. He's the god of this world, the Bible says. Now, one thing that Jesus said, I give you authority over all the powers of hell, over every demon, over everything. And so God wants us to understand that in his name we got something to do in these last days. And so he wants to show us that things haven't changed, that some of the things he's done in the past, they're still there. And so God wants us to be close. He wants us to be connected with his purpose. So it goes on. It says, they will pick up serpents, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. God wants us to be about the Father's business. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of things that you know, we've been in a lot of places, and I don't pick up serpents on purpose, and I don't drink poison on purpose. But I want to tell you, we've been in places where what they're giving you to eat is like a poison to your body. It's full of bacteria and these things. And I want to tell you, God is able to keep you in the midst of whatever he's called you to do. He's able to keep you. And so we don't have to worry about some of these different things. And then he talks about laying hands on. I'm not going to get into this particular time, but there's a study, and one time we preached about it. But there's something about laying on of hands. And God wants us to begin to understand these things, that when you lay hands on somebody, you know, in the name of Jesus, something imparts by God. There's an impartation. That's why when the Bible says to lay hands on it, and you know, Christians, sometimes they're just afraid to do what God said to do. And so if you're afraid to do it, that's okay. Then do it in the name of Jesus. That's better anyway. God wants us to begin to be bold enough in his name that we can begin to see the things that he talks about, these signs that are going to follow, because we're going to be in a day where people are going to need Jesus more than ever. All hope is going to be, it's just despair. And so here you are. God has taken care of you. He's going to make a way for you. And so we read these things, and we've been clearly, as I begin to read the scriptures, and I don't have time to go through all the things, but we've been clearly given the authority of God to use his name to create things that do not exist. He's given us the authority. He said, in my name. It even says that you keep them by the power of your name. And you know, very few Christians, how many go out and do most of what you do in the name of Jesus? Well, praise God, brother, in the name of Jesus. And not even a Christian. He looks at you like, wow, you're a freak. Well, you know, hey, I want to pray peace over you. And the guy goes away and realizes, man, I've had this happen before. Someone would come, and after about 10 times they came to talk to me at this place I was working, they said, every time I come and talk to you, I got this peace. Well, stop just talking to me now. Let's start talking to Jesus. And they get saved. You understand? Because God gives peace. He said you can speak peace. You know, people have a hard time. What signs follow what? Believers. God's calling us to believe. You know, he wants us to believe and be able to impart the blessings of God, the understanding of God, the knowledge of God. And so, I don't know about you, but it's clear to me that God has given us authority in his name. And then when he talks about asking, and we want to ask, he says to ask with right motives. Now, I'm not going to get heavy into this, but, you know, God wants us to have the right motives. And he doesn't want me to ask all these things for myself. He wants me to ask these things for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is different than what Harley wants. I mean, Harley wants bigger and better equipment, you know. Harley wants it easy. Harley wants all these things. But it's what God wants. You understand? When we begin to understand, if I begin to pray and ask in the name of Jesus, I want to make sure that my motives are right with God, and then I can be assured that what I'm asking for, God is going to give. Amen? All right. Now, as I was reading, I began to realize how the world hates Jesus. It hates Jesus. And you can see that more and more in the day that we live in. It's not just, you know, it's not just abortion. It's against anything that stands for morals and truth. And all these things have just gone away. And we begin to realize that, you know, that's what he was talking about. As he was on the cross, he began to talk about some of these things and how the world hates him. And you know, you think about it just a little bit. When Jesus went to the cross, when he went before Pilate and all these ones, just prior to that, they were, you know, Hosanna in the highest. They're doing all these things and laying their coat out and receiving the king because he'd done all these miracles. And now they're yelling, crucify him. That's where the world is. They hate Jesus now. They would rather have a criminal come. And so if you're dealing with the world, it's going to hate Jesus. That's going to tell you a story. We don't minister to the world. We minister to people that are lost in the world that God is going to rescue. They'll somehow hear, even though they're trying to run away, they'll somehow hear. I really believe that. And so, you know, Jesus was saying some things that on the cross, he was telling them that, you know, you're going to be sad for a little while because he's going to do these things and they won't quite understand what he's doing because they're spiritually appraised. He said, you're going to be sad for a little while, but your sadness will be turned to joy. So as this time, this little time frame, and it begins to explain some of these things just a little bit in there. But at that time, the world was rejoicing that Jesus was crucified. And they feel like the enemy felt like he won, didn't he? I mean, he felt like he won. And then suddenly things begin to change because it was all totally the plan of God. You know, you read it, everything about no broken bones, and you know, he would be pierced, and his garments would not be, would be divided. Every prophetic word was fulfilled in what Christ said, because his plan. He still has the same plans for today. That's why we begin to understand, and yet he gave us a name that's above every name. And he wants us to understand how to use that. And the world thought it won, but you know, at the same time, the other day we preached a word, talked about the river of God, how it flows from the throne of God, and how everywhere the river goes, it brings life. And the river of God, he talks about how it will be in us and will flow out of us. And so we got to begin to realize that it's not some simple little call. We're not just here just to have an existence. We're here to make a difference. We're here to believe God and to see things happen. And everywhere we go, how many know that God can bless where we put our feet? That God can begin to encourage people that we're around as we begin to focus and as we begin to believe God. Now, everywhere the river flows. And so what he wants us to be able to do, and I find this sometimes a little harder than what I think, but God wants us to begin to believe. And, you know, we see some things that if I'll listen to what God has said in his word, as I begin to communicate with the Lord, I begin to talk to the Holy Spirit just like Butch, and begin to see some things. As we begin to respond, as we begin to follow, as we begin to obey, let's say that word one more time, obey, we will see the glory of God. What did he tell Martha and Mary? What did he tell them when Lazarus was dead for 4 days? Did I not tell you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Did he only say that to them? Or is he trying to say that to us? Only if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. I don't know about you. I'm tired of the world. I think I spend too much time talking about the world rather than ministering to the world and using the gifts that God gave me. And so sometimes we find ourselves being a little discouraged when we pull up to the pumps or when we go out and to try to find a used car or a new car or whatever. We let the world begin to get into our life. How many know that whatever God wants us to have, we're going to be able to have? And so, you know, he owns everything. I mean, it's his. He turns people's lives. We've seen a good story of that there. Now, we go on from there, but you begin to see some things. Do you have any idea how much power there is in the name of Jesus Christ? You know, I thought about that. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm thinking, Harley, do you have any idea how much power there is in the name of Jesus? I mean, I've seen some things. I've actually seen the dead raised 3 times. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen even eyeballs that didn't exist come into people's eyes. But, Harley, do you realize how much power there is in the name of Jesus? Sometimes I really don't. He's unlimited. In the name of Jesus, and then you think about some of these different ones that he's called, and they've used that name, and they've gone out in that name, and they begin to see things just like Jesus said. You know, his disciples, they came to that place, and he was saying to them that, he says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, I don't know about you, he talks about some of these things. I want to turn into the book of John in chapter 16 and verses 23. I'll read a couple verses there, but it says this, in that day you will not question me about anything. And that's the day that the Holy Ghost begins to fill our lives and begins to do some things. It says, truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. What did he just say? Is there any doubt? Is there any no? Whatever you ask. And he says, now, this verse 24, until now, this is where I got convicted. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. You know, very few Christians really ask for many things in the name of Jesus. They talk to Jesus, they pray, but when he talks about keeping them in my name and all these things, he begins to talk about that name that's above every name. I begin to realize that we do not use the name and the authority that God really has for us in the way that we really should. He said, you have not asked anything, and you will receive. So that it says, until now you ask for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. How many want to be happy? Man, I want to tell you something. When you start to see Jesus doing things, were you happy the other day, Butch? When you seen Jesus doing what he's doing? He blessed everybody all of a sudden, man. And I'll tell you what, you can't get happier than that. And if you turn on the news, you're going to get sad again. So, forget it. You know, you want to understand what the world is doing. I understand that. But God has called us to do something much greater. In the midst of all of what the world is doing, God is still blessing his people that believe, that go on and begin to use that precious name. It goes on in verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken to you, figuratively language, an hour is coming when I no longer speak to you figurative language, but I tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. Wow. In my name, he says. In that day you will ask in my name. God, I am sorry that I don't use the name that's above every name as often as I should. I need to start proclaiming in the name of Jesus. You know, I mean, you know, you feel like you're supposed to go talk to your boss for a raise, and you say to your boss, well, in the name of Jesus, I think I'm supposed to get a raise. Now, you might get a raise or you might get fired. But if you get fired, it's because God got a better job. And you wouldn't leave that job, and God's been trying to tell you to leave that job. But if you did it rightfully in the name of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is in control, suddenly, I don't know about you, it sounds crazy, but I've seen it work, man. I had a person say that, you know, he said, wherever you go, he said, go in the name of Jesus way back when. And you know, if you need something in the store and you need a deal, then bring Jesus in with you. He said he would go to the car when he'd go to the store or look for a deal, and he'd open up the other door and he'd say, come on, Jesus. And he'd go in there. And I thought, man, this guy's a real fool. He's talking nonsense. But all of a sudden, I needed something. I needed a suit, and it was a leisure suit. That's how long ago it was. Didn't have a suit, and I was preaching. And I didn't have any money. I think I had $9. And so I opened up a door, and I told Jesus to come on in. Man, I went into that store, and I looked, and all these things were $27, all of them, different colors, all these leisure suits. And all of a sudden, I'm looking through, and I look at one. There it is. My size, I thought, yeah, it won't be the right. $9. No. So I asked the lady, I said, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with this thing? She said, no, that, I said, because that's the only one. Yeah, she said. So I said, ah, it won't fit. So I went in the dressing room. You know what? It fit perfect. It was an obnoxious suit, but it worked. You know what I mean? That was in at the time. But I realized that when I'll be foolish enough, you know, that to bring Christ into all these things, that he's going to be there. He's going to be there for me. And I don't know about you, I'm so stupid, I forget about these things the older I get. Sorry, Lord. God wants me to remember the power of his name. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's there to its job is to teach us and to guide us and to convict us and to empower us. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for. Now, in John 16 and verses 13 and 14, it says this. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will speak, for he will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. I don't know about you, but there's a Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. And some of these things are trying to guide us in this day right now. These are what the words are, trying to guide us into all truth. And he'll not speak, but he'll even disclose what is to come. You want to know what your future is? Wow, I want to tell you something. It's better than what you ever imagined. God has it. And it says, and he will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. I begin to realize that the Holy Spirit has come to do some precious, precious, precious things. And I begin to realize that, you know, we see that there was something he was trying to talk to the disciples a little bit. I wanna go to John 16, let me look at verse 18 here. I want to look at something. Jesus had said something to him, you know, in verses 16 and 17. It talked about, in a little while you'll no longer see me, and again, a little while you'll see me. And his disciples, then they said to one another, what is this thing that he is telling us, a little while and you'll not see me, and a little while you'll see me, and because I go to the Father? And then in verse 18, it says this. And so they were saying, what is this that he is saying? In a little while, we do not know what he's talking about. So here they're in this confused state in a little while. And so this thing was on their heart in this little while. And, you know, I don't know about you, but he was trying to encourage them that, you know, there's going to be some sadness. That's what he said. But in a little while, it's going to be turned to joy. There's going to be something called the Holy Spirit that I have to go and do. But until then, I have to go prove what I got to prove. I've got to prove this thing. It's not done until it's done. It's not done until I've gone to the Father. I went into the pit of hell. I took the keys of hell and death in that name. And then he goes to the Father and he begins to say these things. And then I'm going to send you this Holy Spirit that is going to do exactly what you needed to do. And then you're going to begin to understand even what is to come. And in my name, ask. You haven't asked until now, but start asking. Start asking in my name. I begin to realize that, you know, here in the day that we're in, we got to develop these things. And so he said that he'll guide us into all truth. He'll disclose to us what is to come. You know, and he said that he will take of his and disclose it to us. And I don't know about you, that what that means is that Harley or Rocky or anybody else that's in this place, we have to develop hearing ears that hear the Spirit of God. And it's not what the world is going to say. It's in contrary. It's exactly opposite. How many know what psychology is? I tried to win a friend. He came to my house to get saved. But he was in his second, almost third year of psychology. He was going to be a psychologist. And so he comes to my house, and I'm telling him, and he's right there ready to pray and confess Christ. And he goes, wait, stop, I can't do this. He said, that's against everything I've been learning in college. Because psychology and Christianity is almost a total 180 degrees difference. Faith is something you put trust in God. You know, you ain't going to work out your own salvation. You're not going to guarantee yourself life, but he can. You understand? There's something greater than who we are. It's called God. And so as we begin to understand these things, the only thing that really can reveal truth to us is the Holy Spirit. He walked out and never did get saved. Boy, I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for his brother got saved, his other brother got saved, his sister got saved, and he never got saved. I thought, man, Lord. You know, Jesus is the truth, and he'll disclose these things. Now, in Romans 8 and 1, You want to put that up there? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit never condemns, but what the Holy Spirit does is it convinces us to repent. You know, it convinces us that we have to go in the right direction. God wants us to go in that right direction. And he guides us, he sustains us, he strengthens us, he enables us, and he wants us to be more like Jesus. I realize God's got some more work to do in me. Amen? And I want to be able to do that. And God's not condemning me for my shortcomings, but what he is doing is he's trying to convince me to look at him and to repent. And as I begin to repent, God begins to bring more strength and more ability. And so, on our own, I begin to realize, like a lot of these different ones, that I don't even have the right to ask. I don't have the right to pull God's leg. I can fast, I can do anything you want. But, you know, but through what Jesus did on the cross, he's made it possible for each and every one of us to access God. He tore the veil. You understand? That's what he said. He said, you have the right now to enter in. On my own, I don't. If I ever come to God in wrong motives on my own, I don't have the right. Now, the devil will try to confuse you whether you are or aren't, but we're in Christ. And, you know, when I begin to realize that praying in the name of Jesus, what that really is doing is that's aligning me with God. That's lining me up with God, and I begin to realize that my prayers are not just my own anymore. And I begin to realize that my life, as I begin to pray, these things can begin to be done. Just like many of the men in the Bible, they can't do it on their own. They realize they can't do it on their own. I don't care whether it's Peter or Paul or David, and there's a nice little story about David, but you can't do it on your own. Harley, you need the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things I like to do with Catholics way back when is that, you know, they put Mary in this place that was so high, she was most blessed among women. And yet, she needed to wait for the Holy Ghost. All of them needed to wait for every one of us need the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to guide you into all truth. You get it because you ask. And when you ask in his name because we don't have the right to come. But he says in his name we can come before him. In his name we can ask and he'll do these things. As we begin to believe, I don't know about you, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, precious. All of you know the story, but David was annoyed. Everybody's hiding. David was annoyed by this Philistine that was taunting the armies of God. What is the world trying to do right now to the Christians? Taunting the army of God. And so David, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord came on David, what happened? I mean, you read it. You read through it. God did what he did. He would lead him, and the Spirit of God would come on him, and God would speak to him, and God would send him, and he would be able to accomplish everything that he's supposed to. And so here, all of a sudden, we come to this verse. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you know, because he said, am I a dog? Remember that? This big old giant guy. I don't know about you. We face some giants, but he said, you come to me with sticks and stones, you know, like I'm a dog, you know, and he starts cursing the armies of God and God himself. And then David said to him, he said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. From the very beginning, God gave us a name that's above every name, that we can come and we can accomplish what God sent to do. You aren't going to do it on your own. I don't care if you're king of Israel. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're rich or poor. But in his name, you can. And so David, he said that. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Wow. You know, I began to realize that this David, when the Spirit of God came on him, it gave him revelation and knowledge. And, you know, if we would be what God meant us to be, Christians, we could set the world on fire. I really believe that. We could honestly set the world on fire. You know, what happened in this day? Man, I tell you what, he did something in the name of the Lord, and suddenly the whole world began to realize. And then God promised to be with him, and he would seek the Lord, and God was with him every time. And so David's concern was that the name of God would be vindicated from what this demon was saying. What's the world saying about Jesus, about morality? You know, God wants to do some saving of some people. I really believe that. In verse 45, it talks about that, you know, what he said and how he came to him. But, you know, we look at that verse 47. I want to read that. It says, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Battle's God's. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm not here by myself. You know? You might think that I'm by myself, but we're here in the name of Jesus. And so we see some things there. And in that verse 46, it says this: in this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What does God want people to know? That there's a God. There's a God that created us. There's a God that has a plan. There's a God that wants to save us. Now, you can reject that and you can receive that. And so God wants the world to know. I don't believe it's a different day that we live in. I believe it's the same thing that God wants to do. And so, I don't know about you, but, you know, when he says he'll strike down all the armies of the Lord, you know, when Jesus was there in the garden, remember when they all came and they said, we're here to get Jesus. Are you Jesus? He said, I'm Jesus. And then what happened? All of them fell down and hit the ground. Wow, wouldn't that be weird? In other words, there's a name that's above every name. I want you to know that. I'm going to go with you, but I got power over you and anything you could ever think of in my name. Are you? Yeah, I'm Jesus. Boom. In that name. You know, see, that I got to quickly read a couple more things to you, but, you know, we can go on. And so when we face great opposition, what do you want to face it with? We need to have an enormous trust in the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we feel weak, what do you want to have a trust in? The name of Jesus. We go on to some of these things, but, you know, we need to go out in the name of the Lord. And we can realize our limitations, but God is going to vindicate his name. That's what he promises. He said every knee is going to bow and every tongue is confessed. Better to bow now than to bow later. And so God wants us to begin to realize again and again and again, and he wants us to give glory to God. And he will do it. That's what he promises. He promises he'll do it. And, you know, there's verses in there. I'm not even going to get in there, but in chapter 18 of the same 1 Samuel, it talks about how David was blessed. He went out and God blessed whatever he did. I mean, it wasn't just one little thing. He was continually, as you begin to read, he was blessed. And it wasn't in his own strength, but it was in the name of the Lord. What he did, I don't care. He did these things in the name of the Lord. And so, you know, he's saying, Harley, you ain't doing enough in my name. You're just doing things, and you're not doing them enough in my name. You need to put my name out there so that I can put my stamp of approval on it. You're limited by what you're doing, and you're limited in yourself by trying to do it yourself. But I want you to do it in my name because I want you to be glorified. I want you to have joy full, complete. I want these things to happen. Remember, ask in my name. Now, in John, now, one of the things I want you to do, I'm going to read this to you real kind of quickly, and then we'll end with it. But in John chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 6. We need to glorify God by asking. That's what he said, by this am I glorified, that you ask. We need to start glorifying God. I really believe that. And we see that in John 17. And I want you to have a little homework assignment. I want you to take this chapter 17. I want you to go home and I want you to read that sometime today. Just sit down and read it slowly. And let God's Holy Spirit begin to speak some things into your spirit by doing it. But he says, I have manifest your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Man, God was just hitting me hard. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. God, you see, there's something about the name of Jesus that I can't explain. It's beyond words. It is the power of God. It's what Jesus did. And it says, now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. It's from God, the creator of the world. God has given these things, and they're coming to know this because they're being guided into the truth of the Holy Spirit. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them and truly understood that I have come forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I mean, Jesus is it. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those who you have given me, for they are yours. And all these things are mine and are yours, and you are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Keep them in thy name. You know, that I don't know about you, but I can't speak enough about the name of Jesus. We can't cheapen the name of Jesus. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name. And you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, the disciples in the world. But now I have come to you, these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy be made complete in them. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Wow. Even as I am not of the world. Too much of the world starts to make the things of God get a little out of focus. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. I'll tell you what. Doesn't take a genius to see the world, how evil it is. And God's promise is to keep us from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. You got to spend some time in the word and in the truth to get sanctified. That's the only way that's going to happen. And it says, and you sent me into the world, and I also have sent them into the world. Who are you talking to, God? The pastor? Every one of us. I have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. Now, you're going to begin to realize that Jesus' prayer, that was his prayer. That was his prayer, that they'd been kept by his name. Kept from the evil one. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. I have sent them to minister to the world. I have given them a power and authority in my name. I want them to start asking. I want them to start having the ability and the strength and the power that comes from above. That verses 11 and 12, they're precious verses. I'm no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name that you have given me. Wow. Jesus' prayer as he was going to the cross. It's going to be sad for a little while, but it's going to be turned to joy. I got to go prove what I got to prove. And then look out. And if we'll grab a hold of these things, I believe that we can make a difference wherever we go. Starting right here where your feet are. Amen? The wisdom of God. Not in a prideful, arrogant way using the name of Jesus. Remember, when you pray, you have to have the right motives. But I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus, that God would do something the way he wants to do it. You understand me? Sometimes I've seen people abuse the name of Jesus. Man, I won't give any names, but this one husband and wife were arguing. Oh, man, I'm telling you what. And she's just, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, pointing at her husband's face and rebuking. And I mean, they're both just Christians, would give the shirt off their back to anyone. And yet they couldn't get along with one another because something had happened. And as she's rebuking him in the name of Jesus, he spits in her face. And you know, the sad thing about it is they got divorced and they both married other people, Christians, and became pretty good Christians. Why couldn't they do that? I don't know about you, but it's kind of crazy how, you know, we don't abuse the name of Jesus, but we want it nicely, godly, to change things around us. That the love of Christ doesn't just bring in condemnation, but it brings in the ability to come to Christ, align ourselves with God. That's what God wants to do. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. And Lord, I just want to confess, sometimes we don't spend enough time in your word. And I really don't use the name of Jesus like I should. The name of Jesus should be glorified. I should be asking for things that you want to do in this day. And then God getting out there and believing and seeing the glory of God, being filled with your joy. And your purpose is only you can do. And God, we are believing for some victories in this place, in these families, in these lives, and in this neighborhood. In Jesus' name, and we all agree and say, amen. Amen. So, I want you all to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go and do what God called you to do, because you are. You are.